The floor is yours.
You were saying that Snail Mail was playing.
Yeah, Snail Mail played with Dinosaur Jr. last night at Prospect Park.
Which we were supposed to be at.
We were supposed to go.
And I got a call. Forgot.
We were eating at Frog's Wine Bar. And then I get a call from my friend. She's like, where are you guys?
You forgot?
I was like, yeah, I completely forgot. Which is terrible because Snail Mail is my favorite band. But I thought she was talking about Alex G. So I was like, oh, we didn't get tickets.
Yeah.
And then she's like, dude, no, I'm in front of Snail Mail. And I was like, oh, my God. Yeah.
That's tough. That's crazy. It was at the free shows at Prospect Park, or was this a paid one?
It wasn't free, but I think it was at Prospect Park. It was somewhere outdoors, I think.
The summer series.
Yeah.
They do the shows at the band shell. Interestingly, I went, was it last year or the year before, and saw Alex G at that.
Wait, with Always?
Yeah.
We were at that show, too.
That was a good show.
It was a good-ass show, for sure.
Always is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was a two-night thing, right?
It was two nights, yeah.
I was at the one where I think Alex G went first at the night I was at.
I think we were at that same night. We saw Alex G first.
That's so cool.
The second one, Alex G played second?
Yeah, I think they did like a switch.
True.
Wow.
That's awesome. We were all there.
That's so cool. Was that the first time y'all had seen Alex G?
Yeah.
Yes.
Same. Same.
I'm actually not a big Alex G fan, but I do like the song Miss, but Amari can definitely say more about Alex G.
Yeah. I feel like it's because you haven't heard him enough.
Oh.
I don't play Alex G enough at home. But actually, that one night that we missed Snail Mail and Dinosaur Jr., it was a tragic night. Because, okay, factor number one, we missed one of our favorite band's show. Well, your favorite band, Snail Mail.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't get into the Alex G show, so we were, like, feeling FOMO the whole day. And then we went to this, like, pop-up of Filipino food. And not to trash talk, but I was just really unhappy with what we got.
No, it was bad. It was bad.
No names.
What made it bad? Was it, like, Filipino food that was made for people that, like, aren't Filipino and that haven't had it before? Or was it just, like, straight up not good?
It was just, like, I think whenever I try Filipino food in the city, I always have such high expectations because it's very rare
that
you come across like a Filipino chef doing a pop-up. So they, like, the pork that they served was cold to us and it was like not chewy. The type of pork in that cuisine or in that dish is supposed to be very like
soft.
So it was like cold. And then also we were like the third in line to order.
Yeah.
They give us our order like an hour later.
An hour and a half later.
Jeez.
And like the people next to us got their food before us. So.
And they literally got almost the same thing as us.
Yeah.
And there were three people.
Yeah.
It's just
that's pretty disappointing.
So I was really bummed out about that.
And it was $40 in total for everything.
It was $40!
For such small,
For small ass plates.
Like two chicken skewers, two pork skewers.
Oh, no.
And then a little salad on the side.
And
but
then
like,
rice.
Like a spoonful. Tragic.
Have you recovered from that night?
Clearly not.
Well, you could still be thinking about it, but
we're still thinking about it.
Are we doing okay? Just health? Just no, not yet.
We have trust issues now.
Okay, best Filipino food, $40. That's okay with you?
What do you mean?
If
the food had been top notch.
Oh yeah.
Oh fuck
100%.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally.
Okay. Because some people they have really strong feelings about when food gets brought to New York, how like their cuisine gets expensive,
yeah.
And it's like. Is that really the point of the food for it to be like costly and cater to this New York audience, or is the food to be meant to be enjoyed and so should be priced appropriately?
Yeah, yeah. I will say that it was kind of Americanized in a way because the inasal, which is chicken, I saw the ingredients that the guy put in the menu or the person put in the menu, and they added Sprite there, which traditionally you don't add Sprite to inasal.
They were doing some innovation.
They were, yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. But we're actually going to Little Manila tomorrow morning.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So, yeah.
We're going to redeem ourselves.
Yeah.
Is it for a special occasion or you're just going to come back from this bad meal?
Both. Yeah, we're taking our friend to a late birthday lunch.
Yeah. Nice. Shout out.
That's Abdala. Awesome.
Yeah.
I know this one place called Los Tacos Number One, and I can speak about Mexican food because Los Tacos Number One are expensive, but the thing is that they're really good. So, I mean, when I get them, I'm like, damn, like, I could get this for, like, so cheap. But also, like, we're out here, right? Like, it's not the same. So, if my fellow Mexicans are getting rich, like, Okay, respect. I don't know. I would also like to, as a Mexican, eat some, like, good food without, I don't know, just paying so much, you know? It would be nice.
Can I comment on this?
Yeah.
Okay. Best Mexican restaurant in New York, I think, is Regalo de Juquilla.
Yeah.
This is in Bushwick. So good.
It is really good.
I think I'm Mexican by association. Also, like living in our hometown where it's like predominantly Hispanic culture, I think I've gotten like a good taste palate for what is deemed good in Mexican food. And that place is crazy. So if you're ever in Bushwick, then please go there.
Yes. I would also like to say what makes a good taco. Because I feel like everyone should be informed about this.
Please.
And not just like go to whatever Mexican place and I want tacos and yeah, I'm sure it's fine, I guess, right? But no, okay, so you got the tortilla, which you can get flour or corn. And I mean, obviously I cannot show you guys like what a good tortilla tastes like right now. But just imagine it being like kind of nutty and like soft instead of like brittle. It's buttery also. And then the salsa needs to be spicy. I don't know how to describe it. But anyway, the tortilla has to be good. And when you have a good tortilla, you're going to know. You know what? This is, like, easier in my head. But, like, I feel like I need to actually, like, have you guys try some good-ass Mexican food before I can talk on it.
I always want to eat Mexican food, basically, so.
Well, have you tried Los Tacos number one?
I haven't been to... I've heard of it, but I haven't been there.
Okay, contrary to popular belief, it's not a tourist trap.
It's not.
It looks like it. But it's not.
Okay.
Do you ever make Mexican food at home?
I used to a lot. I used to make like, I liked them frijoladas, which is like enchiladas, but with like beans.
Mm.
Enchiladas have like tomato sauce on top. And used to make breakfast burritos,
nice.
Which Lovette liked a lot.
So good.
Yeah. And then homemade salsa also. But I stopped. Honestly, I don't know. I am not a fan of cooking at home anymore.
It's very fair. Do you do any cooking at home?
I cook a lot. I cook a lot of Filipino food.
That's awesome.
Like a lot of different Asian food. When Amar and I first moved in together, he was like, you eat rice every day. And he was getting really like frustrated.
Wait, really?
With it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was getting frustrated because it was like nothing but Asian food.
Yeah.
I feel like Mexican cuisine has a lot of rice though.
It does. But not as much as... Asian cuisine.
I'm like breakfast, lunch, dinner, right?
Yeah, that's now that for us is just dinner, like not breakfast, not.
And I feel like it's like kind of seasoned sometimes. Like
yeah, most of the time it is seasoned. Yeah.
What's your favorite dish to cook? Wait, favorite dish to cook and follow up question: if you're having someone over and you want to impress them with your cooking, what are you making? It could be the same dish.
It's the same dish.
It's the same dish.
Okay, yeah. I don't know if Lizzie told you guys I was gonna cook for you.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes.
You have to make the dish you're about to say now. You're stuck. You have to do this now. But when you come to our place, we'll have Ariana and I will make you an oxtail. We'll make you Jamaican oxtail, which is like, it's outrageous. Sorry, it's got rice in it. I'm sorry.
I love rice.
It's okay. And then, yeah, the oxtail with beans, and it's just like butter beans, and you just let that stuff stew.
Ooh, yum.
They couldn't figure out how to make it for the longest time. Asked their mom. Mom's like, all right, you're going to a grocery store that has, you know, like a Jamaican section. So, you know, probably Flatbush or something. And you're going to pick oxtail seasoning. And that's it. And it just came down to this packet of food that is like universally understood across the entire diaspora of like the Caribbean as oxtail seasoning. And that's the secret key ingredient for oxtail.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're going to have to, you know, have... We have to have an exchange, but yeah. So what's the dish?
And we're going to try it soon. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I will make you all two dishes. One of them is sinigang, and it's like a tamarind-based sour soup with a bunch of vegetables. So you can put like bok choy, yu choy, daikon, tomatoes, spinach. It's so good. And I made that so much to the point where like Amari was like, every time I busted
the... making it every week.
Every time I busted the pot out, he's like, oh, hell.
Yeah.
So that's one of the dishes. And you can eat it with pork or beef or chicken, but I usually make it with chicken or tofu. And then the second dish is pampano, which is a type of fish, but I put like this sour base on it and with black pepper, and then I bake it. It's so good.
Pampano
and then
so
white
hard.
Rice, of course.
Yeah.
This is like one of my favorite family stories, but my great grandmother, she was from a very small village in France, like very small place. And her husband, my grandmother's father, was Algerian, and they met happenstance. I think all of him and his brothers had come from Algeria and settled where my great grandmother was. And so they met, and there's this beautiful story of, maybe exemplifies like their short romance or their short-lived life together, where she makes him potatoes and ham. But, you know, one, he's Algerian, so you don't really eat pork over there. And he was also, like, Jewish, so it's like, don't really do a lot of that either.
Yeah.
But he wants to be polite. There's this woman that he's falling in love with, so he says, you know, this is really good. And she didn't really, you know, like, you don't have, like, every tool that, you know, whatever, like, courting wasn't really something she was paying attention to. She was just happy to be, you know, together. And so she took that to mean, that's a very good dish. I would like to have that every day. And so off of that one comment of the ham and potato, you know, whatever starch it was months.
Oh
every
God!
Night. And it took him months to get the wherewithal, the courage, or the desire. Maybe he got tired of the meals. No. Be like, you know, I don't have that food a lot. Like, that's not really food that I eat.
You know, this is very good, but maybe we could eat some egg every now and then.
Yeah, that made me think of like you pulling out the pot and like, oh no.
And sinigang is like. Well, it could be hot, obviously, because like you're dealing with soup and it's you're eating it like when it's fresh. So sometimes I'll be making this in the summer, like right now, for example, and Amari's like, it's hot. Like, why are we eating this?
Usually, well, Levent likes to cook, and then I will be doing the dishes. And that's the role we play at home.
And so you got part of the way through identifying what makes a really good taco, and then we got identifying the dishes you love. Are you able to do this, play the same exercise for what makes a really good Damien taxidermy show?
Well, we've only had one, but I've definitely played a lot of shows under kind of like my own band kind of thing, because in Texas I did the same under a different name. And I would honestly say, in order for it to be a good show, I have to have everyone rehearsed very well. I feel like the most fun a show is when you can let yourself go instead of be nervous about, oh, here we go to the chorus and I can't remember if we are going to play it now or if we have to play another 8 bars kind of thing. And that's really annoying and frustrating when you're like in front of people already. I feel like when you're in front of people, you want to bring everyone in with your confidence.
Yeah.
And a little theater. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with rehearsal, because for Josephine's Dream, we practiced so much for our first show to the point where like it helped, because I wasn't nervous at all when the time came for us to perform in front of people. Like, you're not thinking about like what the next chord is going to be. Like, you already know. It's like, it's kind of like muscle memory. And so you just have fun.
That's something you've both said, like having fun.
Yeah.
In two very different ways, because you play in very different bands. Like, the having fun component has to come after much, much preparation, because the part that's not fun is winging it when you're not sure as a group what the hell you're doing.
Yeah.
And that must be terrifying on stage. Is it?
It is terrifying.
It is, okay.
Some people feel less so about it. My friend Jack, he's a really good bassist. And I've never heard him say, like, oh, I forgot about this part and I felt terrible. Never. So the guy, like, if he's not sure, he's just going to play it. I don't know if it has to do with, like, the bass not being too loud, even though it's, like, loud enough, right? But me, I feel terrified when I fuck up on things. I play drums in a band also, which is called Big Head. And when I fuck up, everyone can hear it, so I'm very conscious about that. So I get really anxious when I'm not well rehearsed. But I feel like a lot of people have told me, like, oh, it didn't even sound like you messed up.
Yeah, most people, like, because you're the one that knows the songs, and you know them well enough to be able to tell the ins and outs. So, like, anyone that's listening is likely never going to have any idea that you missed, like, one little note in a run, or, like, you hit the hi-hat when you're supposed to hit the snare, or whatever it is.
Like. Yeah. I don't know. I try to think about that when I fuck up. I'm like, no one's going to notice. But then I just spiral. I just, like, wait, but what if someone noticed? Nah, no one's going to notice. Yeah, it's just like that. Until I fuck up again. Yeah.